during our gospel meeting, we will meet on our regular time on Sunday morning. We'll have a dinner right after service that morning. Then we'll come back into the auditorium at 1:00 for our afternoon service. And there will be no 5:00 service on that day. We've done this for a number of years, and it's worked out very well. It gives people in other congregations in the area a chance to come on Sunday afternoon and not have to miss any of their services. And so it's worked out well, and so we'll be at 1:00 on Sunday, and then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll meet at 7:00 each night. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you that it is your truth, your revealed truth. We know, Father, that the Bible is a book that tells us all about you, about your Son, about the Holy Spirit, about the church, about how we are to live our lives, about what we must do to be saved. We know that all truth is in, spiritual truth is in your word. We're thankful for that. Thankful, Father, that we can meet and we can study. Bless us tonight in our study. We pray through Jesus. And amen. Now tonight I'd like us to read for scripture reading over the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But we preach not ourselves, Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. It is the case that people in the world are lost. Jesus said that was his mission in Luke 19, verse 10. He said the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's implied when you read the Great Commission. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. To be saved implies somebody is lost. The fact of the matter is, there are different kinds of people that are lost. Some are lost, but they really want to know what they have to do. In Acts chapter 2, after hearing the great sermon of Peter on the day of Pentecost, the Jewish people asked, men and brethren, what must we do? Acts 2:37. And Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then there are sometimes there are people who are lost and they don't know. Paul talked about some Jews in Romans chapter 10. He said they're zealous towards God, but their zeal is not according to knowledge. And Paul himself described himself that way. He said that he had lived in all good conscience. When you read the book of Acts and you read Paul's account of his life, early life, he said he was a blasphemer, he was a persecutor, he did things against the cause of Christ. But God had mercy upon him. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount. And it's clear that you're going to have religious people in the world who think that they are honoring God, they're obeying God, and the fact of the matter is they're doing just the opposite. The significance of this lesson tonight is what Paul deals with here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is that if people know they are lost, then they are going to try to find a Savior. And it's only those who are convinced that they are lost when they start looking for a Savior. And it's only those who are convinced that the world is lost who will try to do something to help save people and bring them into a knowledge of Christ. Long time ago, Brother H.A. Dixon, who was the president of Freed Hardman at the time, made this great statement. He said, there's only two reasons why we are not getting out there and saving people and trying to evangelize the world. He said, number one, We're not convinced that they're lost. We really don't believe that those people are lost without Christ. He said in number two, we aren't convinced that we'll be lost unless we try to go out and try to evangelize the world. We must do what we can. So now what is this that Paul talks about perishing people here in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians? Well, look at the reasons he gives why some people are lost in Christ. Look at verse 4. He says, in whom God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Then the idea is that God, that the Satan, the God of this world, he has controlled people through their minds. And in their minds, he has said that, you know, you really don't have to worry about things. It's just not so bad. Paul talked about later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, bringing every thought into captivity to Christ. In chapter 11, he talked about how Satan deceived Eve through her mind, and brethren were trying to, he was worried about them, that their minds weren't being blinded by Satan as well. One of the tools that Satan uses is the fact that nobody is ever going to be lost. That everybody's okay. Everybody's all right. Oh, you may have done some little things that are bad here and there, but you're really just not that bad off. Yet Jesus said that, you know, that it is clear that Paul wrote, rather, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is clear that the wages of sin is death. We need to be helping people to understand the fact that sin does separate you from God, according to Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, and people need the gospel of Christ. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The world thinks you can be free from your own doing. The world thinks you can be free by just being a pretty good person, doing a few good deeds, not doing anything really, really bad, and you are all right. And that's just a lie of the devil. It's just Satan has blinded people's minds by that particular idea. Now, the second thing is found here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and that's in verse 3. Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The word hid really means that it's obscure. And when you read chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, you find out what had obscured some people, and that was the Old Testament. And we have a problem with that in the world today. The people want to go back to the Old Testament and defend things and have their ideas justified by going by the Old Testament. Now, there's nothing wrong with studying the Old Testament. Bible says that we are to look at the Old Testament. The Bible cites the prophecies and the statements in the Old Testament. And we've studied many books in our classes, Psalms and Judges and other books that we've looked at in the Old Testament. We're going to continue to do so because there are many lessons to learn there. But the fact of the matter is, too many people are trying to justify things that they do in the name of religion by what they find in the Old Testament. Some people will burn incense in their worship, and they do that because they burn incense in the worship of the Old Testament. Well, that was fine. God authorized that for the Jewish people in the Old Testament. But where does he authorize it in the New Testament? Where does he ever say one word about it? Something that people in God's church ought to be burning incense as a part of their worship? Yes, he did it in the Old Testament, but it doesn't say anything in the New Testament. Another thing that people have is the idea of a separate priesthood. And again, people think, well, the preacher is a priest, and he's the separate from everybody else. He's the clergy, and the rest of us are the laity, and you have the separation. Well, it is true, you had that in the Old Testament. You had the tribe of Levi, which were the priests. They were to conduct the worship, and that was true. But the fact is, you have nothing about that in the New Testament. You don't have a separate clergy system or clergy class or a certain group of people that are preachers that are over or different or separate from the rest of the brothers and sisters in Christ. Preachers are the same as anybody else. Maybe if we've studied the Bible a little more, maybe we've got a little more experience, maybe we've had some more experience in dealing with people, maybe we can answer some of the scriptures, spiritual questions. But the fact of the matter is, just because the preacher says a prayer and somebody else says a prayer, the preacher's prayer isn't better because he's a preacher. His prayer is the same as any other brother or sister in Christ. And we need to be aware of that. We also need to be aware of the fact that there can be a perverted gospel. And Paul talked about that in Galatians chapter 1. He warned the brethren there. He said there's some who would pervert the gospel of Christ. And there are a number of ways that people are perverting the gospel today. First of all, they pervert the facts of the gospel, the basic facts of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And in the world today, people are denying that that ever happened. Now, it seems strange that people would go to a religious school, that they were trained to be a religious leader, that they would be in that position, again, in that clergy system. But the fact of the matter is that the large number of people who are trained in that come out of those schools not believing in the Bible and not believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I'm not sure if it's still the case, but the last time I looked, about 59% of graduates of religious institutions did not believe in the resurrection of Christ. They believe that he lived, they believe that he died, but they don't believe that he was raised from the dead. Now, that's just a flat denial of the Bible, but it is true in our world today. The facts of the gospel have been perverted. Then also the commands of the gospel have been perverted. The commands that Jesus gave, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Peter told people, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Again, people are perverting that, and that's resulted in the denominationalism today. That you can go up and down the street, you can go to different churches, you'll get different ideas. Ask them, what must a person do to be saved? One person will say, well, just live a good Christian life. And somebody might say, well, just keep the Ten Commandments. Somebody might say, well, just say the sinner's prayer. And you get these different ideas in the denominations of the world today. The commands, the simple commands of hearing, believing, repenting, confessing your faith, and being baptized into Christ have been perverted by the denominational teachings of the world today. And again, people don't go back to the Bible. They will go back to John Calvin. They'll go back to Zwingli. They'll go back to Martin Luther. They'll go back to John Huss. They'll go back to John Knox. All these people, and say, what did this person say? And rather than going back to what did Peter, James, and John say? That's what they need to be saying. And then also the promises of the gospel have been perverted. The promises are, of course, remission of sins. Promises are being walking in the light, that you have the hope of heaven, you have the blessings of God in your life. And what people have done is said, look, you don't need to be talking about all those kind of things. You need to be talking about what people need in their physical lives. In other words, you need to promise people food, you need to promise them a shelter, a good home, you need to promise them things of a physical nature. You don't really need to be promising them about the spiritual things that you keep talking about. Well, I would say just the opposite. People do need homes, they do need food, they do need certain basic necessities, but more than that, they need Christ. They need hope. They need to know that their sins are forgiven. They need to know the guilt of sin is taken away. They need to know that there is a greater than themselves, that someone is greater than themselves, and that they can live for that person, and that person is Jesus Christ. They need to know that God is the God of love. They love man so much that he gave his son to die for them. They need to know the spiritual truths that we find in the Bible. They need to know that there is but one faith, one truth, one hope. They need to know that all those basic things that we find in the facts of the Scripture, the pages of Scripture. We need to tell people, say, look, life can be good, it can be wonderful, it can be marvelous if you follow Jesus Christ. If you stop following yourself and stop following Christ, life can be wonderful. Mankind says, look at what is on the physical level. The Bible says, look above that, look on the spiritual level. We need to tell people the spiritual part is what you need to deal with first. Yes, you do need food. Yes, you do need these basic necessities, but it is better to look at the spiritual side of life. Then thirdly, people are lost because they reject the Lordship of Christ. Paul said that in the fifth verse. He said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, there is no other name given unto men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said in Matthew 28, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Paul told the Colossian brethren in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And what people have done in the world today is they just said, the Lordship of Christ is not what matters. People understand that if they become a Christian, they really are going to be following Jesus Christ, there's going to have to be a change in their life. That you can't just go about your life being selfish. You can't go about saying, what do I want? You have to surrender your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength to Christ. And that means that everything belongs to Christ. Everything I do is controlled by Christ. Every decision I make, I ask, what would Christ do? What would Christ have me to do? People today have so much emotionalism. There's a phrase that is often used called the living voice in the living church. And what that means is you just listen to yourself. Well, I don't want to listen to myself. I want to listen to Christ. Sometimes people say, well, our preacher says this, or our conference says this, or our synod says this, or our church authorities say this. Well, church authorities are not the authority. Christ is the authority. Sometimes people say, well, let your conscience be your guide. I remember a long time ago when I was a kid, there was a movie put out by Walt Disney, Pinocchio. And in that movie, Pinocchio, there's a little character, Jiminy Cricket, and he sings this song, let your conscience be your guide. And I remember teachers talking about that in school, saying, isn't this wonderful? Everybody should let their conscience be their guide. Well, yes, that's true in and to an extent. But the conscience needs to be educated by the Word of God. And just because you say, well, my conscience doesn't bother me, is not enough. You need to go back and say, is your conscience being directed by God's Word? Then sometimes people say, well, what about the prophets of today? And there are churches who claim that they have Latter-day prophets. There are people who claim that they have had revelations from God. Mary Baker Eddy and Joseph Smith and so many of these other people, Ellen G. White, all these people said they have revelations from God. Ellen G. White put her revelations down in a couple of books. She started a church, it's called the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And about 10 years ago, two men discovered that Ellen G. White copied virtually every page in her books from earlier books that have been published by other people. These early books were not available to the public, but these men were able to find that out. They were members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They published this and said, in all honesty, we've got to say this lady that we thought was inspired, well, she copied these books. Well, they kicked those men out of the church. They would not let them be members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They tried to repent, but the Seventh-day Adventists wouldn't let them back in. The fact of the matter is, when people say, I've got this Latter-day prophet, they want to hear whatever the Latter-day prophet says rather than what the Bible says. There have been several times I've had Bible studies with Mormons. When I show where the Book of Mormon contradicts the Bible, they will take the Book of Mormon every time. They'll say, this is the authority today. One time I said, look, this is a contradiction with the Bible. Are you saying that God would contradict himself? The Mormon looked me in the eye and said, yes, he does. I said, you're telling me that God of heaven can say one thing one day and then say there's the opposite the next day? And you say, that's the God you serve? He says, sure. I said, that means God is full of lies. If God can contradict himself, that means God is full of lies. Can God lie? He said, sure. I said, well, you and I are talking about a different God then. Because the God of the Bible is God who does not lie. The God of the Bible is God of truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He does not lie. We need to continually tell people, go back to the Bible for your source of authority. That's where the authority is. Paul said, many men think yourself to be a prophet or spiritual. Let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. The Word of God is the only authority that people need today. Not what's in their mind, not what they read in the paper, not what they see on TV, not Oprah Winfrey or anybody else. What does Jesus Christ have to say? That is the authority. It comes down to what is in the Word of God. People don't want to hear it. I understand that. People say, well, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear something else. All right, there will be a judgment. Explain it to God on the day of judgment. People are lost. That's what the idea of perishing means in these verses. Some people want to be saved. We can do the best we can to help them obey the gospel. Some people don't care. Some people are just saying, well, it doesn't matter. But we need to do everything we can to help people become Christians by believing in Christ, repenting of their sins, confessing their faith, and being immersed. And if they are wayward Christians, helping them to confess their faults, pray, and come back to the Lord. I hope and pray that we'll do our best not only now, but in the coming weeks for our meeting, that one day we can all sit on the throne of God and hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Now we're going to sing our invitation hymn. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to do it tonight. If as a child of God, you know you need to rededicate your life, why not do that this evening? If you just need prayer, a need in your life, whatever that might be, we can pray with you. However, we can help you, encourage you to come, invite you to come, while we stand and while we sit.